sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. I sure did. It's such a wonderful time to spend with family and friends, talking and thinking about the things that are important to us, that are really important to us, which of course is family. Welcome to January 2019. I wish you all an extremely good new year. And on that note of New Year's, we hear so much about New Year's resolutions, and maybe you've already gone ahead and thought through your New Year's resolutions, but I have invited a special guest to join me today. His name is Bill Quinn. He's a professional certified coach with New Stride Executive Coaching. And I've asked him to come talk to us today about all things New Year's resolutions. Bill, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, well, thank you for the invitation, Deb.
I very much appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come and chat with us and share your insight and your expertise with all of us. First of all, before we get started down that path, if you could talk to us about your career path. How did you get to where you are today? What tweaked your interest? Just give us all the details, please.
Well, I don't want to give them all away, but actually, when I graduated university in 1979, I got my Bachelor of Science in Forestry and then became a professional forester. We moved out to BC, became a professional forester. So I actually changed my, if you want to say changed my vocation, but back in 79, if you had said to me, you're going to be doing leadership development, working more with people, helping them be better leaders, I would have said, I don't think so. So the route has been rather circuitous, I guess, is the best way to describe it. But what I did do is I went into forestry out here in BC, came to Prince George, worked in forestry consulting for 9 years, then got into government. And when I was in government, we then moved to Smithers. We were in Smithers for 13 years. Government downsized in 2002, and I had the opportunity. Our best option was coming back to Prince George. And when I was in government, I realized that I had a hard time holding a steady job there, because I had, in 22 years, I had 11 different jobs. And in that time, part of those jobs involved, back in the mid-90s, I started facilitation training. So I started facilitating groups through change. And then in the mid-2000, 2005 or so, started learning how to facilitate for learning organizations. Part of that was coaching. And in the coaching side, what I realized is that's where I really had a real passion. And of course, I don't know what your background is, Deb, but I know growing up with your kids, et cetera, you had to volunteer somehow. And coaching was where I really enjoyed helping the kids, with being a coach. And then that's what really sparked my passion. And then when I realized that I could do this in business, that's when it took off. So in 2007 and 8, I went to Royal Roads University and got my certified executive coach certification. And then in 2010, government had some downsizing and right-sizing, they called it at the time. I was told my services were excess to their needs, and so I was given my papers to go away. And in that, I said, well, I was always preparing myself to work as a coach anyways, because I left Royal Roads in 2008. And so that was sort of my long-term goal. This just came up a little bit faster. So on my 55th birthday, literally, was my last day with government and my first day with New Stride Executive Coaching. And I've been working at that since 2010. So, and that's been an evolving business. So it's been lots of fun for me.
Wow, that's quite the path. Very interesting path. So if I invited you today, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, and we're really looking to you for help with New Year's resolutions. So our listeners might have already made their New Year's resolutions by now, but for those who haven't, or to those who might want help to edit their resolutions, before we get too far into 2019, let's talk about New Year's resolutions. So I did a little research before coming into the station today, and one annual survey that I like to pay attention to is the CIBC Annual Canadian Survey. Now, this survey for 2019 resolutions, I should say, it tells us that paying down debt is the most popular New Year's resolution for Canadians for the ninth year in a row. Now, what other kinds of resolutions are popular for the New Year season?
So what you see a lot of is people wanting to improve their health. That's usually right up there with paying down debt. They usually go neck and neck with each other. And that ranges anywhere from losing weight to, you know, going to the gym three times a week, things like that, right? Then there's leisure and travel is another one that usually crops up. And then after that, there's a number of odd ones, but they sort of start falling off. But those are the, I would say, probably the big three that people tend to do.
So the big three being health, finances, and
leisure and travel.
Leisure and travel. All yeah. right. Which we need finances for as well. And
exactly.
good health. So
yeah.
they seem to be very connected there. So apparently the debt reduction resolution hasn't been working, maybe as effective over the previous 8 years. And it would be great if this year was the year for Canadians to be paying down debt. Bill, please give us some insight as to why resolutions work and why they don't work.
So maybe the first thing I'll mention, I have some stats here too, and I've checked them out and they still hold. And that is that when people are making resolutions, 75% of the resolutions last through the first week. So 25% of people drop their resolutions off in week one. And then it goes down to 71% in past 2 weeks. Past 1 month, it's down to 64%. And then down to past 6 months is 46%. So over half the people by 6 months time have gone off the rails with their resolution. So you're right in terms of a lot of people, they make this New Year's resolution, and what's going on in their mind that sort of causes this to happen. And my perspective is a resolution needs a lot more to it than just having that idea in your mind. There's a lot of stuff has to go underneath it then, usually tied to actions, and usually tied, the first thing you have to do is understand why you want to do it. Who's putting the pressure on you, or what is putting the pressure on you? And so understanding the why is probably key to understand, to being more successful in developing successful resolutions.
Well, that is such an interesting comment, because that leads me right into my next question. As a professional financial counselor, one of the precepts that I teach to my clients is that goals are achievable when they are in harmony, and I should say only when they are in harmony with personal values. And I find that many people are not fully in touch, with their own values, that they often try to live in harmony with other people's expectations, something that you just mentioned a moment ago, or perhaps with the media pressure or some other external pressure. But one of the most important steps in achieving success is to identify what is really valuable to the individual or to the couple, and what will motivate us to feel satisfied when we go to bed at night, and then be eager when we get up in the morning to get on with life. So as an executive coach, perhaps you use a similar model. Tell us, how do you help people sort through the busyness and the clutter of life to identify what is truly valuable to them?
That's a really interesting question. The first thing I do very often, if people aren't aware of it, is going through what their values and identifying what their top five values are. And one of the results of that has been, and I've done hundreds of this values checklist with people, one of the results have been that probably less than 10% of them list money as a top value. So what's going on there is that what I hear is, and you know, the challenge that I have is, okay, somebody says integrity. Well, what does that mean? Because integrity is a very broad subject. Respect, another broad subject. Independence, what does that mean? So when people say money, what is it that's important to them about money? Well, usually that money is buying them something else. It's usually satisfying some of their other needs in terms of their values associated. Like I very often hear family. And so the outcome of money, money is the outcome or can be an outcome that allows them to have safe and secure places for their family to be. And that's what they see. So that values is really important, just as you said. If they don't know it, and most of the people that I've worked with have not done that values list to say, what is the most important thing to me?
So can you give us an idea of the process that you walk people through to help them identify what's truly valuable to them?
Mm-hmm. So when we do the values checklist, they have a list of all the values that they can choose from. They identify what their top 10 values are. Then from the top 10, I ask them to identify, okay, so identify now your top 5 values. After we do that, then we say, okay, now from your top 5 values, and we do this, I say, put each value on a post-it note. And with the post-it note, I say, okay, now take your 5th least important value. I want you to crinkle up the post-it note and throw it over your shoulder. And we work our way down to the very top one. You'd be surprised how hard that is for many people. I've had people refuse to do it because they see how much those 5 values are intrinsic to who they are. And they can't afford, they just can't see themselves letting go of one of them.
Yes.
And on the other hand, when they get down, but the exercise of getting down to that final one says, I know now what is most important to me. And I would say that depending on the day that they're doing it, that those top 5 might shift a little bit. So where something might be number 1 today, tomorrow might be something of those top 5 again.
What would be the influencer that would adjust that for people from day to day?
Probably the specific examples or the specific experiences that they're going through that day. Let's say they're that particular day or that particular month, they're going through some insecurity of job, right? Then the family might be coming up because they're worried about their security of their position and being able to support their family. On the other hand, if everything's going well from a financial perspective, but let's say that they feel like they're being beat up, so to speak, and or not being trusted or being valued, then there's respect might come up to the top. So it just depends on what those specific circumstances that are going on in their life that are going to have an impact on them.